It's 4:06 and you're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert is off today. Coming up, we'll take a look at Governor Walker's financing proposal for a new arena in Milwaukee. First, obsessive-compulsive disorder is commonly misunderstood. When we think of the disorder, I might think of people who wash their hands a lot, have really tidy homes. Well, these can be some of the compulsions. The picture is a lot bigger. OCD is the fourth most common mental illness after depression, anxiety, and substance abuse. It affects about 1 in 40 adults in the U.S. It can occupy hours and hours of an affected person's day as they obsess and then act compulsively on their obsessions. David Adam is a writer and editor at Nature. He recently wrote a book about his own experience with OCD and chronicled what we know and don't know about the disorder. The book is The Man Who Couldn't Stop, OCD and the True Story of a Life Lost in Thought. David, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. Hello.
Well, getting into how this manifests for you, you say, quoting, "I obsess about ways I could catch AIDS. I compulsively check to make sure I haven't caught HIV. I steer my behavior to make sure I don't catch it in the future. I see HIV everywhere." How has that affected your daily life, looking back?
It dominated it. I grew up in the 1980s when HIV and AIDS was the big spectre that everyone was told to be terrified of, and I was. And I started to become obsessed with ways that I might have caught it. Now, I wasn't having unsafe sex and I wasn't doing drugs, so all the ways that I worried about were those that we're all always told that you couldn't have caught it, like, I don't know, kissing people or scratching my hand on a fence. Because I always dreamt up really unlikely ways in which I could have caught it, like maybe someone else had left blood on that fence just at the exact spot where I had cut myself. And I knew these fears were ridiculous, but they were just completely dominant. And the only way I could find to try and address them was to try and reassure myself that I hadn't caught HIV. So this was the compulsive behavior, and that's what OCD is. It's a very strange, random, often very distressing thought which people know that they shouldn't have in a way, and yet you can't make it go away. And the only way you can find to make it go away is to perform some kind of compulsion. And you get, and in performing that compulsion, you make the thought more likely to return, and so you just live in this mental cycle for pretty much all of the time.
And you say whatever the obsession and the compulsion manifest as, a difference between someone with OCD, someone without, the person without it might say that's a one in a million chance and move on. And with OCD, that one in a million, whatever the obsession is, can't be dismissed.
Yeah, exactly. And so I will quite happily fly. I'll get on an aeroplane. I know the risk is not zero. I'll drive my car. I'll cross the road. I'll do all those things where there is probably a greater risk of me harming myself than catching HIV from a barbed wire fence. But it's completely irrational. It taps into something very deep and very old in the brain, probably. And it's just, it's my thing. That's why it's an obsession. And it can be anything. I mean, some people are irrationally frightened of just about anything you can think of. But we do know that HIV was a very common theme for OCD. So lots and lots of people, there'll be people listening to this right now whose jaws will be dropping open saying, oh my goodness, he's describing my life. I thought I was the only one, because after every interview I do like this, I get emails from people saying, oh my goodness, I thought it was just me.
Now, OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, I think it's probably one of those things that most of us think we know what it is. There's a pop culture version and then a real version. What do most of us who haven't experienced it ourselves get wrong about OCD?
I think most people have obsessions, obsessive thoughts. You know, you find you can't stop thinking about something. And some people have compulsive habits. So, you know, they might need to tap the wall three times when they walk past it or something like that. And so everybody has an insight into what it's like. But the way I describe it is they have the O and the C, but they don't have the D. Mm. And the D is the disorder. And it's when you take those to the degree that it interferes with your life, and really interferes with your life.
I think at one point you used the word anchor. It's an anchor that weighs you down. How much of your time and energy when you're living with OCD does it absorb?
All of it. I mean, it sounds crazy, and I feel better now as much as I can. And even I find it hard to accept just how much of my life this dominated. But it's, if you say to someone, you know, don't think of something, if I said, you know, don't think of an elephant, then of course, what do you think of? And we're very used to having control of our thoughts and us being in charge. And so when you have a thought which you can't make go away, it's very, very alien and very distressing and omnipresent. It's just the only way I could make it go away was basically by distracting myself. So I was, you know, I played a lot of sport. I love skiing. And weirdly, I like doing stuff like this, live radio interviews that most people would run a mile from. But I quite like it because it concentrates my mind. And for 10 or 15 minutes, what I'm not thinking about is HIV.
Now, what, you're a science writer, in addition to someone dealing with OCD, what do we know about what causes obsessive-compulsive disorder?
So it depends who you ask. If you ask a psychologist, they'll tell you it's down to psychology. If you ask a neuroscientist, they'll tell you it's neuroscience and then the brain. The honest answer is we don't really know. We know certain things like it seems to run in families, which suggests that there's probably a genetic component. But it's not an easily found one because people have looked. We know that the brains of people with OCD seem to work differently under certain circumstances. But again, we don't know really enough about what those parts of the brain do to start attributing cause to it. The easiest way to explain it is in terms of psychology. And what's very important to realize is that the kind of thoughts that get stuck in OCD are really common, and almost everybody has them. So that's the thought, for example, people driving their car and they get a strange urge to steer off the road, or they're waiting for a train and they get a strange urge to jump in front of the train when it arrives, or they're in somewhere really quiet, like a library or a church, and they get an urge to shout something really vulgar. Those are really common. Those are called intrusive thoughts. And in most people, they go away. And so the question is, what is it that makes them stick around in OCD? And there are a couple of sort of psychological makeups, if you like, that seem to make them more likely to stick around. And one of those is what's called having an inflated sense of responsibility. So some people are more likely than others to feel particularly personally responsible for a certain situation, and usually to prevent harm. So, for example, the person who might get the urge to steer their car off the road, if they had a heightened sense of this kind of responsibility, they might think, well, maybe I am a risk, maybe I should take more care. And so maybe they'll slow down a bit, or maybe they'll grip the steering wheel a little bit more tightly. And in doing that, they give the thought significance, and so the thought becomes more likely to stick around, so they then need to perform the compulsion again. And in this way, it escalates to the point where some people just won't drive because they fear this, and they fear doing something which would have consequences. And so that is the kind of mindset, if you like, the kind of thinking patterns, which do seem to possibly explain why almost everybody has these weird thoughts, but not everybody has OCD.
So the causes of OCD, big question mark, it sounds like. What is out there in the world of treatment? Anything looking promising?
Well, there is a treatment, and I think it's the same over there with you guys that it is over here. You get a combination of things. You get a high dose of antidepressant drugs, the thing like Prozac. Not that we're depressed, but it just seems to work. It just seems to alleviate the symptoms, and they're not quite sure why. And then usually in tandem with that, you get a course of what's called cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT. And as part of that, you learn the cognitive, you learn about the kind of psychology that we just described. And you also learn that everybody has these weird thoughts, which is really helpful when you start to think that you're the only person who does. And then the B, the behavioral therapy, is in OCD. Anyway, it's about exposing people to what they are anxious about, what they obsess about, but preventing them performing the compulsions, because when we perform the compulsive behavior, it's to relieve anxiety. So in the old days, they would actually, you know, someone might have a fear of germs and contamination, and they would make people sift through rubbish with their bare hands, sift through trash, and then they would actually tie their hands so they couldn't go and wash them. And then the principle is that once you stir this anxiety, if you keep it high by stopping them performing the compulsion, then it has to go down at some point, because physiologically we just can't maintain it on high alert for that amount of time. And so the theory is, once you as someone with OCD realize and learn that this anxiety will go down by itself, then in the future you don't need to perform the compulsions, and so you break that cycle that we talked about.
David, that sounds really traumatic to me.
It was. I mean, it is by definition. You know, you have to stir the anxiety, and then you're preventing them taking the easy way out, which is the only way out that they know. And it is very traumatic. And this is why lots of people find the treatment very difficult. Lots of people drop out. Lots of people, I mean, there's something like a 10-year lag usually between people being diagnosed with OCD and people going for treatment. But it does seem to work in most people, not everybody, and not everybody gets 100% better, but a significant amount of people improve.
David, and as we wrap up, 1 in 40 adults, if that number's right, we're all going to encounter someone with OCD, whether we know it or not. What do you wish everyone else knew that might help you as we meet you dealing with someone with OCD?
I think two things. The common misconception about OCD is just about hygiene and order. It is damaging to people with OCD because they think, well, what on earth is wrong with me? They don't recognize that they have OCD because they think OCD is all about hand washing, and they have these strange thoughts about hurting their children or whatever. And the second thing is just for everybody to be more honest about these really, really strange thoughts, because if I knew, you know, when I was 20 years old, that almost everybody had these really odd thoughts from time to time, which they couldn't, which they could make go away, but I couldn't, then I wouldn't have felt quite so isolated. And that's one of the great sort of ironies of OCD, is that you're very aware that you shouldn't be thinking this, and yet you can't stop it. And because the content of the thoughts is very often, you know, it's about violence, or it's about disease, or it's about sex, it can be quite difficult to bring those subjects up in conversation. And so if everybody was just more honest and open about these really odd thoughts, then people would be more willing to talk about them when they really cause them difficulty.
David, thanks a lot for sharing your story with us.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with David Adam, writer and editor at Nature, talking about his new book, The Man Who Couldn't Stop OCD and the True Story of a Life Lost in Thought.